Hi, my name is Alejandra Lopez, and I am currently a Colombian student at the American University of Paris. Today I'm going to talk about the crisis in Venezuela and what is going on up to this day. The reason why the oil prices dropped so much in 2014 was because countries like China and Russia, who had been booming in development and demanding so much oil, reached a point where they stopped developing as much as before, and this caused them to demand less oil, making the prices drop. That was also the year President Nicolás Maduro was elected, and the start of a nightmare. To fix this problem, the Venezuela government started printing more money and increasing the minimum wage to gain popularity with the working class. This took out the value in money and caused hyperinflation. For starters, hyperinflation happens when there are more people wanting to purchase goods than the number of goods available. The annual inflation rate reached 83,000% in July of this year, and it is estimated that by the end of 2018, the inflation rate will be of 1,000,000%. Prices have been doubling every 26 days on average. Venezuelans have increasingly started using electronic transfers for even the smallest transactions because printed money has basically no value. 2.3 million Venezuelans have left Venezuela since 2014, 208,000 to Spain, 290,000 to the United States, 600,000 to Colombia. Other popular destinations are Chile, Brazil, Ecuador, and Peru. Water shortages and power cuts are now caused by a lack of investment in Venezuela's crumbling infrastructure. Previously, President Chávez wanted to make basic goods more affordable. But this meant that the few Venezuelan businesses producing these items soon no longer found it profitable to make them. Earlier this year, Colombian President Iván Duque asked to take the crisis in Venezuela to the International Criminal Court, a move supported by France, Argentina, Chile, Paraguay, Peru, and Canada. So today I'm here with my friend María Carolina Monteverde. So thank you for being here, MC. Until when did you live in Venezuela?
I lived in Venezuela until 2014 when I graduated from high school.
So when did you start sensing the crisis directly affect you and your family?
I could say that me and my family, we started sensing all this crisis when Nicolás Maduro was elected. Venezuela's going through a lot. It's going through hunger, economic crisis, health issues. But me and my family, we could say, what we feel the most that has affected us is the economic crisis. All companies, all international companies, everything has been affected by the currency of Venezuela.
And how did it directly affect your family? Like, what changes did you guys go through, like, in your day-to-day lifestyle or day-to-day basis?
For me, being a teenager was very hard because of the insecurity. We could not go out like regular teenagers in every part of the world. We had to be very careful. We had to be go out with a bulletproof car, maybe, or not go out, like try not go out at night. Also, we've been affected because of the money we have 4 years ago. It's not worth anymore. We have a weaker purchasing power.
What is life nowadays in Venezuela like? Obviously, you live here and it's way different for you, but you're like in contact with your parents all the time, and like we see it on the news. Like, the day-to-day life of the Venezuelans, like, has changed a lot. Like, directly for your family, what's life nowadays in Venezuela?
I, myself, go back a lot to Venezuela. I go every summer, every break we have. But it's very difficult to go back since I come from a different reality. I live here in Paris and everything's very good and very nice. When you go back, what hits me the most is seeing the lines of people outside of the supermarket and grocery stores for buy only one toilet paper or toothpaste. That affects me a lot because also my family seems is affected because of that. We have to spend a lot of money in order to get all the products, or maybe buy the do groceries outside in Miami, and then ship them back to Venezuela. So that is something that affects my family a lot. Also, what affects us and my family, my friends, everyone there, is the health issue. If you get sick in Venezuela, it's very hard to find the medicines you need. It's also very hard to get to go to a clinic or to have a surgery because of the of the conditions of the clinics and the hospitals. You might be in between, like in the middle of a surgery and have an electricity shortage. So that is for us very hard to understand and very hard to go through, because you can help, you can have money, or you can come from a different or for a higher class, social class, but still you live this issues and you go through this issues. You don't have to be poor to suffer all of this.
And what products are very hard to find in Minnesota?
Those are the basic need products. Like, you don't have to be looking for something very extra or very, very difficult to find in order to be, to have to struggle. Like, if you want to buy flour, you want to buy soap, shampoo, toilet paper, like those kind of things, you don't have, like, you don't find them easily. Or if they're there, you can, like, if there is like availability in a supermarket, you have to make a line of 1,000 people, 2,000 people, wait from 5 a.m. until you get in at 10 a.m. And then you can only buy one shampoo and you have a family of 7. So those kind of things is what families struggle the most, because most of the families in Venezuela are 7 siblings, then mother and father. So how can you manage to live with only one shampoo a week for all of them, or one toothpaste?
Have a lot of people close to you left the country?
Well, in 2015, in the summer of 2015, there were a lot of riots in Venezuela, a lot of them. They were trying to do a coup d'etat, and they didn't make it. So a lot of my friends fled the country. They fled to Madrid, to Spain as a whole, to Colombia, Mexico, the U.S. The problem with that is that even if they had the possibility of leaving the country, as I mentioned before, there's like, we all have a weaker purchasing power, so they're living in worse conditions than other that they are supposed to, because money's worth nothing. So they go live in foreign countries, but still they have to work. They cannot be like regular students. They go to school and they do nothing all day. They have to work in order to survive, to pay their apartment, to pay their grocery stores, everything. They have to, They have to do a lot in order to live outside of Venezuela.
Can you talk a little bit about the changes that are going on with the currency and the changes in the minimum wage and everything that's going on?
Okay, so over the past 2 years, Venezuela's currency, the bolívares, has lost over 99% of the dollar value. There are two ways of buying dollars in Venezuela. There's the black market, which it's basically unaffordable and not so many people can do so. And also the other way is through the government. The problem is that doing it through the government, which is cheaper, you can only do it if you're really connected. Okay, so since the hyperinflation is unstoppable, the government is doing everything they can to trick the population and make them feel it's not that terrible. So what they do is they take zeros out of the currency. This summer they took 5 zeros out of the currency, and Hugo Chavez previously took 3 zeros out of the currency. So you can understand since 1998 how many zeros it has been taken off. Also, the companies have suffered a lot through this because of this hyperinflation. This summer, when they took the zeros out of the currency, they also implemented, they also increased the minimum wage. Before, when you changed the currency of bolívares through dollars, $2, it was $1, the minimum wage. And from one day to another, they changed it from $1 to $18. So if you don't produce and people don't buy your products because of the hyperinflation, how are companies supposed to pay their employees? $1 a day and then $18 a month. So it's very complicated, and companies are struggling because of this.
So do you know, like, what people in Venezuela or people around you are doing to try to help?
A lot of families in Venezuela are dedicating their lives to do charity. They're providing meal centers to children and to regular families in Venezuela, because of the regular Venezuelan only eats once a day. So they're providing food. They're also building schools and like giving classes, teaching kids how to read, because there's a lack of education, like a big lack of education.
Thank you so much for being with me today and answering all the questions.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Now I'm here with Ana, and you can find the link to the article she wrote on the crisis in Venezuela, and more specifically, what people are doing to help this humanitarian crisis. So thank you for being with us today, Ana. And can you talk a little bit about what people are doing around you to help this humanitarian crisis?
So people have created NGOs for those who are most in need, and they have made things like GoFundMes and fundraisers and many other ways. For example, my family, they're doing a project regarding art and food. So the idea is to link art to social action. The main principle of the project is to have a chopping board intervened by 45 Venezuelan artists that they already have. And then they are donating these chopping boards to people so they can buy it. And with that money, they are able to help soup kitchens and other organizations that are also helping the children in need. This project is called Cut Hunger Through Art. You can look it up online or through Instagram. And you have two ways to donate. So the first, as I said, is purchasing one of the chopping boards. And the second one would be to donate money through GoFundMe.
So this project sounds really interesting. How did this all start? Like, what was the initiative? Like, who came up with the idea?
So my mom is the one who started everything. She has always been very interested in art, however, even though she's an architect, but she really loves art and she really loves social work. So she thought that there had to be a way to join these two and be able to raise money for the children that are most in need. She began doing this project around 1 year ago, and she started contacting every Venezuelan artist that she knew, and also the ones that she could find. She started contacting these agencies that are specialized in creating soup kitchens and dining halls for the children. She started also speaking with chefs here in Paris, as well as in Miami and Venezuela. So just basically gathering people to help her and support her in this project.
So to sum it up, you talk about how through art, your family has been able to get funding to support and sustain these soup kitchens and dining halls for people in this crisis. And you talk about how this all started a year ago. So can you talk a little bit about how currently this is going and how this project has progressed?
So the project has progressed a lot, actually, in the past year. My mom started with around 3 to 4 artists that she knew personally, and now she has more than 50 who have collaborated with this cause. She has contacted, as I said, chefs in Miami and here in Paris as well. And this Monday, 3rd of December, she will be showing all the chopping boards, so exposing in the Miami Art Basel, together with a chef called Carlos Garcia, who is a Venezuelan chef, very famous, who will also provide a dinner for this fundraising. And, well, basically, they're really hoping to grow throughout the years and be able to come up with not only help in soup kitchens and dining halls, but similarly to what Maria said, also create spaces where the children learn to develop social skills, manners you would learn at home, as well as educate them. And yeah, well, basically they're hoping to continue this project, and if everything goes right, they will expose in here in Paris in 2019.
Well, this initiative sounds amazing. Thank you so much for your time. And for more information, please find Anna's article above. And for help and donations, also find the website to Cutting Hunger Through Art above. Thank you for listening.